Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. I am your host, Michelle Berard, founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC, and I am very happy to share this hour with you, where we examine all those places where spirit meets life and the joys and challenges that may bring. So I just want to remind you guys that Somewhere in the Middle is intended to be a safe place where we can learn and grow together, and we do discuss a variety of topics here, ranging from love to politics to books and money and business, all kinds of stuff, and that is because the human experience is wide and varied, and I do know that you guys have a lot to share with us as well, so I really don't want to just talk at you for the next hour. I want you to feel free to participate, engage. You know, we really want to hear from you. I want to make sure that you know that so you can get your questions and your comments ready for the second half of the show, because I'll be taking calls from you guys, our audience. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that I always like to start out by thanking Miss Beverly Black and Tribe Family Channel for helping me to create this space for us. Tribe Family Channel is home to an assortment of shows that are really thought-provoking, and they explore life, spirit, business, and culture. And those include The Woman at the Well, which is hosted by Ms. Beverly Black. I also want to give a shout-out to intuitive counselor and medium Lynn LaPorte, who was my guest on the last show. And I don't know if you guys got to listen to that show, but it was a little deep, a little profound, because along with doing private consultations, readings for our clients, Lynn assists with personal development and the spiritual side of things in particular. You can find her at her website, which is Readings by Lynn, Readings, R-E-A-D-I-N-G-S, by B-Y, Lynn, L-Y-N, .com, readingsbylynn.com. So if you missed that last show, make sure you listen to the replay. It is really good and informative, and I think it's really enlightening for a lot of people who are interested in those spiritual things. You can get to that replay by visiting Tribe Family Channel online and checking out the show recordings. You're going to want to look for the August 25th show. You'll also really want to tune in so that you can hear those other shows that we had before, so make sure you check out all of the replays that are in the library. Now, you guys also know I like to give a shout-out to Bruce George of the Genius is Common movement, and that's because it encourages all of us to embrace our inner genius and share it with the world, and that's what we all need to do. It is super important that we share this message with the youth, but it's not just for the youth. We all need to be reminded that our genius is needed, and we all have something that we are geniuses at. So learn more about the Genius is Common movement, and you can do that at www.geniusiscommon.com. Now, tonight, we're going to be delving into creativity. And I think this is a really interesting topic because often we want to be more creative or we struggle to find a way to express our creativity. And sometimes we're surrounded by people who don't really nurture and encourage the creativity that we feel or that we want to express. And then there are those of us who express our creativity in ways that are not traditionally thought of as creative. So maybe you're a problem solver of some kind. Maybe you work in a tech field or a medical field or something like that. But you come up with creative solutions to the issues that you encounter in those fields that are not considered creative. So we're going to take a look at creativity, and we're going to explore creativity with one of the most creative people I know, and I'm really excited to have her on the show. My guest tonight is Nina Brav, and Nina Brav describes herself as a Southerner stuck in the snow. Having graduated 2 years ago from Boston University, she lives and works in Boston as a writer, blogger, and entrepreneur as founder and CEO of Anina Production. Nina writes on all sorts of themes, but particularly love, healing, and magic. Last year, Nina co-authored and published her first book of poetry, Love and Other Monsters, which explores the search for love and how life experience impacts our perceptions of it, and that's from the perspective of three women at different stages of life. Nina's currently working on her second book of poetry entitled Pink Cake and Champagne, Musings on Hate and Healing. The second book delves deep into the emotions that come with ending a long relationship. The love that turns to hate, the lover turned villain, and the all-important work it takes to transform heartbreak into healing. And so I want to welcome Nina Brav to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. Thank you, Nina, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am excited to have you on the show because, as I mentioned, our topic this week is creativity. And you have, really, as long as I can remember knowing you, exhibited extraordinarily creative ideas. You're creative in your thinking and also just your outward expression, everything from the way you dress to the decorating that you do, and especially, of course, in your writing. And you've listened to the show, so you already know that I like to start an interview with two questions that I believe lead right into what you're doing and why. So, Nina Brav, who are you, and how did you become who you are today?
Yeah, as a longtime listener, I should be more prepared for this. Who am I? You know, these days it's interesting. I have something of a split identity. I daylight as a business consultant where I'm doing some of those more technical jobs that you described earlier. I'm problem solving. I'm, interacting with clients about technical issues, sometimes, you know, personnel people. But, you know, for the most part, I'm in a field that's not traditionally seen as a creative space. And that's what I do, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then 8:30 p.m. comes around, and I crank out the writing. I am writing short stories. I write poetry. A lot of my writing tends to center around love, as you've mentioned, magical realism, and I think that comes from me being a highly imaginative person. I'm someone with multiple identities trying to figure out how to merge it all into something that works.
Well, and I think you're doing a good job of it. What I've seen is you've done a lot of writing. You also have collaborative projects with artists who are, depicting your writing in some way? Tell us about those projects.
Yes. So one of my visions and I think passions in life is figuring out how to merge business and art and how to link different types of art. So on a recent project called Poetica Post, essentially it's the result of a collaboration between myself and an independent artist. And the artist selects something I've written that inspires them, and then they create a visual, a painting, or even something digitally created, pencil, colored pencil, you know, something visual to go along with the story that I've written. And it was really an experiment. That's what it started out as. And what it turned into was a postcard series. So you now have these visual images that come from the inspiration of my poetry or a short story that they selected.
Very cool. And so let me ask you then, you mentioned it was an experiment. Do you do a lot of experimentation with your writing as well, with other people or on your own? Is that like a major component of what you do with your writing?
That's a good question. I think it's something one thing I try to do is be uncomfortable. And it's something that I think can help writing, but it can also just be really challenging to then share, if that makes sense. So one thing that I've had to really work through as a writer and as an artist is being vulnerable and able to share what I'm feeling, especially I'm you know, in real life, a very protected person. I don't want anyone to know what I'm feeling when I'm feeling it. You know, I always want to look 100% on top of it. But in your writing, more interesting and almost more important that you are vulnerable and that you show those points of weakness when you drank too much or when you were just irresponsible with your soul and with your body. And those are things that are hard to put on paper and even harder to share. So that's, I think, where I've been pushing myself as a writer. And I'd say I've probably been pushing myself on this for years. You know, that's not something that there's always a way for you to be more vulnerable. And there's always a chance for you to share more of yourself. So each time I've pushed, I've gotten myself a little further.
Wow, that's great. Well, and you have a lot of folks on the line who are interested in what you have to say. I want to let you guys know that we do see you. We do know you're there. And we're just going to ask some more questions of Nina Broad first, and then we're going to open up the lines and let you guys ask some questions as well. So stick with us. So, Nina, you mentioned something here. You talked about trying to be uncomfortable and that it can help with the writing, but it can be challenging to share. You said it's interesting when you're more vulnerable. What makes that interesting to people? Is it interesting to just the writer to explore that? Or is it interesting to the reader? And if so, in what way do those come together?
I think it's interesting to the reader. I mean, I think about myself. I'm always my first test subject. And when I listen to a compelling piece of music, for example, a lot of times I'll take an album that I've really enjoyed, and I actually was a little shocked I enjoyed so much, but Rihanna's recent album, Anti, a lot of her songs have to do with some combination of a power struggle in a relationship or heartbreak. And there's this one song where she's drunk dialing someone and asking them to come over. And you can just hear the longingness in her voice, and she knows it's a mistake. And that sat with me because I think we've all been there. You know, we've all either made that call or have wanted to make that call. It feels nice to know that you're not the only one who goes through the bad stuff. And I think that's why it's important, and that's why it's compelling, because as I've been writing and sharing myself and being vulnerable, I've had people come up to me and say, that's exactly what I went through. And that felt good, because I was like, oh, good, I'm not the only, only one here doing it. But people feel that way, and it almost validates our feelings and gives you a different perspective of maybe I can process this differently, and maybe I don't have to be so hard on myself.
Yes, there's an element of self-forgiveness maybe that takes place in some of those.
I think so, or it can at least start the process.
So speaking of starting processes, you mentioned, well, I mentioned that you're working on your second book because I know this, Pink Cake and Champagne, Musings on Hate and Healing. I was wondering if maybe you have a poem or a few lines that you'd like to share with us tonight.
Yes.
It sounds like I put you on the spot.
No, I mean, this is a project that I didn't realize I was working on until I looked through all the poems I'd written about a breakup. I went through a tough breakup after a long-term relationship, and I just put all my emotions on paper because, you know, I'm an artist, I'm a writer, that's what I do. And I started looking at all my paper, and I was like, wow, that's a lot. Maybe I got something here.
And so you got a book, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to read you this poem called Wish I Had. And this poem, I think, is particularly important because I think it was the moment where I realized I should write a book.
Okay.
And should kind of put these feelings together in a way that other people can hopefully use and appreciate. 1 year and 5 months ago, I wished I'd treated myself nicer. Instead, took blame for your daddy issues, internalized my own. Instead, told myself you never loved me. Instead, let myself feel thrown away. I wish I'd been gentle to me, petted my own hair when I needed comfort, or tended more carefully to wounds, allow myself to feel sadness without remorse, allow myself to feel. I wish I had treated myself to less wine, more bubble baths, to more travel, less bodies, better books, better people, better shows on Netflix. I wish I had loved myself. Instead, I numbed myself, in turn demonized desires, looked down on myself, weakness, never an option. Easy to punish myself, push myself, make heartbreak competitive, hurt myself to win. I think tomorrow I'll be kinder. Gently tell myself your issues are not mine, my issues are not you. Treat myself to pink cake and champagne and maybe a cartoon. Know that all will be fine. But lovingly remind myself, it doesn't have to be tomorrow. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. So you mentioned that it was a tricky breakup, and been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, as they say. So how did you get to a point where you were willing to write about, I mean, I know you're a writer, but I mean, I know I write too, and sometimes it's just so hard to just put those feelings, those raw emotions down on paper. Sometimes it's really hard to do. How do you psych yourself up to do that?
You know, I don't think there are many scenarios where I have to psych myself up, because a lot of time, I think I've trained myself over the years to go with the flow when that inspiration hits, even if it's a painful inspiration, even if it's drawn from sadness or anger, and just lean in to it.
Okay.
I think that's what a lot of it has been. These are not things I publish immediately or even plan to publish. I spend half of my time writing on my phone, be it in bed, or if I'm on a bus, or if I'm at a restaurant. You know, when inspiration hits, you just kind of got to take it and go with it, and then you read it later and say, oh, maybe there's something here.
So you mentioned that you write, you know, in all kinds of places. So it sounds like you write on trains, planes, automobiles, whatever. Well, hopefully not while you're driving. But, you know, like you're writing, how do you get your writing time in? Do you just kind of squeeze it in between when you're commuting? You know, do you just have a set time that you write? How do you organize your time?
Well, you know what's interesting? I'm going to preface my answer with a quick story. So when I started writing, I viewed myself primarily as a playwright and like short story fiction writer. And that was my place in the world. I was, you know, writing things that were, you know, 10 pages or longer. And those are things that you really need to sit down and take the time and crank it out, you know? And I was actually in college and I had the chance to take a couple creative writing classes. And I took a creative writing class with a professor who, she didn't want us to know what she did, but I looked her up on LinkedIn. She was studying poetry at the time. And she was actually the first one who got me to write poetry, because I had never really spent time with it. And I could even say I'm not sure I appreciated it as much when I read it. So she pushed me to write in ways that I was uncomfortable. And one thing I found with poetry was it was fun because they have different kind of frameworks for how you can write poetry, and it's almost like a puzzle trying to fit every piece in. But oftentimes they were shorter, and they could be as long or as short as you needed them to be, which gave me an opportunity to write more versus doing 3 short stories a year at the time. So I do write everywhere. I travel a ton for my 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. consulting gig. And when inspiration hits, I sneak it in. You know, a lot of times it's on airplanes. It can be late at night in the hotel room before I go to bed. So I think the story is important, because I don't know if you can do that as easily with short fiction or even long fiction. You kind of have to sit down and give yourself a couple hours to think through what you're doing. But poetry, if it's 5 lines, it's 5 lines. If it's 20 pages, it's 20 pages, but it's up to you.
Well, I had someone say something really interesting about your writing. And it was actually one of, you know, I edit books, you know, that's one of the things I do, and I oftentimes recommend that people purchase Love and Other Monsters. So one of my clients sat down and read the book all in one night, and he particularly commented on your writing. That, first of all, he said you're extremely talented. But the other thing he said that he really loved was he had never tried his hand at poetry. Well, he tried it, but he said he sucked at it. And the book inspired him to try his hand at poetry, number one, but part of the reason was because of your writing. What he liked was your storytelling in the writing and getting into character. And that is something that I see with a lot of your poems. You don't just write, like the poem you read just now was more of a classic, you know, poem, but you also have poems where there's dialogue back and forth, their characters talking to one another. And I think that's what he found so interesting and appealing. So what made you gravitate to that style? Because I do see that you do that with some regularity.
You know, that maybe that is my fiction background or my playwriting background that hits me with that. But a lot of what I'm writing, I think, is just a reflection of experience. And so much of my experience is either inner dialogue or external dialogue. So maybe it's as simple as that. It's just my perception of my experience flowing into my writing.
So inner dialogue and outer dialogue. So are you talking about when we talk to ourselves, whether we acknowledge that or not?
Yes, and I definitely talk to myself.
Yeah, because I know I talk to myself, and the first time I noticed, I didn't even know I was doing it at first. Someone else noticed I was talking to myself, and then I figured out anybody who works in computers definitely talks to themselves. So what's your excuse? You don't work directly in computers. Do you think that everybody has that inner dialogue going on constantly or with some regularity that they can then draw on?
I don't know. This is turning a little philosophical. I almost view myself as like an external player in the world, and I can control what I do and how I do it and things of that nature. So sometimes when I'm talking to myself, it might be an attempt to get control back from the situation. So let's just take a simple scenario. You know, you're at the gym. you're near the end of your workout, and you're like, oh, I'm almost there, but I really don't want to do anymore. I'm done here. And you know, I'll say out loud, or in my head, if there are people around me and I don't want to look wacko, I'll say, like, come on, you got this. One more minute. You can do anything for one more minute. And I'll say that to myself. And that's a real conversation I'm having with myself so that I can do what I need to do and control the situation better.
Well, I know I was doing that this morning, if it matters at 5:30 in the morning. I was at CrossFit being tortured. And
oh,
that's exactly what you have to do. Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do sometimes. And hot yoga, I have to do that too. But that's my own preferred way of torture. I prefer to torture myself with hot yoga than CrossFit, to be honest with you. So, well, I think that's interesting because you mentioned getting a measure of control. And I'm going to ask you if maybe it's not so much control as just trying to be able to maintain kind of your sense of how things should be. Because I don't know, how much control do you think you have? You know, so I just wonder if it's more of a sense of maintaining a sense of self, maintaining a sense of okay, I've got this space that I can operate in, and I can't control anything else, but I've got this, right? Maybe it is control, maybe it's not.
Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I also was talking to myself earlier when I parallel parked very well, and I congratulated myself because apparently I'm also easily impressed by the things I do. So.
Well, you should also thank the parking fairies. That's who I usually thank when there's good parking going on. But
nope,
I believe they're parking fairies that help. That was all you. Okay. Well, I want to, I was thinking about one of your other poems, and I want to bring this out. And this one is called Lucky Penny. Do you remember that one? I don't know if you have it handy, because if not, I have it handy, and it is one that I like a lot. Do you want to read it if you have it handy, or if not, I'd like to share it.
I have it handy. Sure. this is called Lucky Penny. She threw the rice at him, tiny grains floating through air, well-meaning by nature, but now her weapon of attack. Liar, she yelled. Little plums blossomed on her cheeks, her eyes sewn shut with adhesive rage, the single barricade between her and the rain. Lying scum, she threw a tin at him. It bounced playfully off his slick, parted hair. His eyes were a shallow well, meaningful only to the clumsy girl who had trusted him with a lucky penny. Liar, she puffed out with a quiet exhale. She sat silently, unbuckled her shoes, and removed them. Then she got up and walked. And as she walked down those stairs, away from the broken stained glass, the unlit candles, the unprayed prayers, she stepped on the small grains, well-meaning, but painful to her naked toes, a weapon of her own design.
Wow. So what inspired that poem?
I think I wrote that one a while ago. I think that was another relationship poem where I must have felt like let down in some sort of way, where I didn't feel like I could trust the person I was in my relationship with at the time. I think those were the underlying feelings that inspired that. But what's interesting is, you know, I think the first thing that comes into my head when I'm writing is I visualize a scene. You know, maybe I should be a director, but and I just had this image in my head of a woman who is about to be married, who did not get married, barefoot on the steps of a church, mascara run down her face, crying, and just angry and sad and broken. And I remember having that visual in my head, and then I put it on paper.
Wow. Well, you do have a background, though, in theater arts, right? Theater and managing plays and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I went to a performing arts high school where I got the opportunity to act in shows, traditional plays, musical theater, stage manage, write some plays, all of that.
So it sounds like, you know, that image of yourself that you had as a playwright maybe is still developing. That's, you know, like went through high school. Yeah, you're doing businessy kind of techie stuff now, but you're also continuing that writing. And even in your poetry, you've got, you know, character and dialogue in these vibrant images, you know, that people can just picture, you know. So is there any plan in the future to maybe do a play or maybe even a screenplay, you know, for digital media, you know, film or something like that?
You know, what's interesting, I wrote this short story that still deciding what I want to do with it exactly. I initially had an idea of doing a 1001 Arabian Nights style book, you know, of short stories inspired by this first short story. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you some background. So the story is of two young lovers who meet, and the guy is a writer. And every afternoon, they walk up this mountain, and he writes, and she like sings and looks out on the water, and then they come together, and he reads her what he's written that day. And the first story is around a goddess who gets very vengeful and ends up cursing a man to lose his love in 100 lives. So each story following would be this man's journey through his different lives of losing his love and then eventually getting his love back.
That's a beautiful concept.
Thank you. It's still a work in progress. But one idea I had with this first story was seeing if I could get a video animated behind the telling of the story, with the thought of merging that, you know, digital video and writing, you know, in a different artistic collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Still a work in progress, still kind of figuring out the right way to go about it and if we'll have an opportunity to, but I would love to do something with digital video, for sure.
That's awesome. That's an awesome idea, and I can't wait to see what you do with it. I think it's going to be fabulous, just what I'm hearing about it. Wow. So just, you know, we have people on the line, so we're going to give them an opportunity to chime in.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I've got...
Area code 626, did you have a comment or a question? Area code 626, did you have a comment or a question? Area code 843, did you have a comment or a question? Area code 843, do you have a comment or a question? Back to our show.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, Nina, what I'm going to ask you now is, what advice would you give to someone who wants to write but maybe doesn't know where to start?
I think I would say just start with yourself and your experience. You know, I think one thing I had a tendency to do, particularly when I was younger, and sometimes now, too, I'm a type A perfectionist, and it's very easy to edit as you write. And sometimes the most important thing is just getting that first set of words on the paper. And if it's, you know, if you read it tomorrow and it's no good and you're like, ugh, I'm not about it, that's fine. It's okay. But there is a very strong chance that you put down something that you didn't think you would like, pick it up later, and you're like, wow, this is actually pretty good writing, or wow, the writing's not great, but this is a really good concept. I can use this for something else. So just get over, don't be hard on yourself, you know, just write what you can. And then a second piece of advice, and this is something I never intended to share my writing. That was a decision I made with that same creative writing professor that I had who convinced me to get started on poetry. And we went to class one day, and she said, I want to discuss how we define art. And she drew a picture of a stick figure who was an artist, a canvas, which was a painting, in the middle, and then another stick figure on the other side, and that was the audience. And she said, a lot of people perceive that art happens here, and she circled the canvas to the audience. You know, as soon as an audience experiences, as soon as an artist creates the art, that's when art is art. That's its inception. She said, but what if the purpose of art is to be experienced? If that's the purpose, art's not art unless you have an audience and you have someone to interpret it and to critique it and to take an artist's interpretation and develop their own. I don't know. It was just that concept made a lot of sense to me. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is it can be scary, but I think we should all try to share our art because you never know the impact you can have on someone. And you don't have to share it with everyone you know tomorrow. But when I got started, I had a little blog spot, and I didn't share it with anyone, but it was on the web, and people could find it if they knew how. Maybe that's where you start. You know, it doesn't hurt to start there and see where you end up, because you could end up with a book of poems published and the idea of having a second book published soon. You never know.
Very cool. Oh, we've got a couple more callers, I think, that might have questions. So let's go ahead and see if area code 919 has a question or a comment. 919, you're on with Nina Brav. Okay, area code 408. Area code 408, do you have a question or comment for Nina Brav?
Yes, I do. Hello, Michelle Berard, and hello, Nina Brav. It is so refreshing listening to you ladies dialogue and have this conversation. I'm Beverly, and I wanted to just chime in and first thank you, Nina, for your candid answers, your transparency, and the first poem that you read, well, both of your poems I love. But I really, you know, when you first started reading your first poem, it just really struck a chord. You know, you're giving yourself permission to love yourself for all the flaws that we have as humans and to get over the hurt and stop being so hard on yourself because the world is going to beat you up. So if you don't build yourself up, who will? So I commend you for that, your poetry, and for starting somewhere. The advice you're giving these listeners and the phone lines are lit up. Why people are being so quiet, I have no idea, other than like I am. I told Michelle, I'm over here ear hustling. So that's the only thing that I can say is that they are listening like I was very attentively, but I wanted to just come in and tell you ladies that this is a wonderful conversation, profound answers. The dialogue is profound. It's very enlightening. And lastly, I will say this to what you said, Nina, about people starting somewhere and how you started your blog and you never know it will lead to a book and poems, this, that, and the other. I am the publisher of Gumbo for the Soul series anthologies. I started off with a newsletter, had no idea Gumbo for the Soul was inside of me, but do start somewhere. And I started with a blog on health, which led to here I am 6 books later. So somewhere in the middle, hosted by Michelle Berard with guest Nina Brav, is profound, and the advice that you are giving your listeners is very, very relevant, and they should be taking it.
That's awesome.
Well, thank
we hope
you.
To all have 6 books at some point. That's a
that's yeah, great. Beverly, you're a veteran at this.
Well, and ladies, the only thing that I can say is that you are so good at what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. I wouldn't change a thing. So I'm going to go ahead and fall back, but enjoy the balance of your show and evening. And, you know, it's profound. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, and to that end, I want to add another question, and that is, you know, a lot of people find poetry to be intimidating, and that's one of the things that I have really been trying to figure out. How can I get people to see that poetry is not, it doesn't have to be that serious thing that you studied in school that you hated, right? Because everybody got so nervous. Well, at least when I was in school, we had to do, you know, British poetry and things like that, and it was all so daunting all the time, you know? And I think people get intimidated by poetry. What if someone feels like maybe they want to write poetry? Like this client I mentioned, he was inspired to write when he read your poems. He felt like he couldn't do it because I think he felt like he was constrained to these structures he didn't really know that well or didn't remember from school. You know what I mean? And it was very intimidating. What would you say to people, particularly who want to try their hand at poetry?
Honestly, that was me. I was so intimidated by poetry, and I almost was just resistant to it because you read everything in iambic pentameter, and you're like, is that how I start? You know, if I don't write like Shakespeare, is this going to be a trash poem? And then even worse, you know, in high school especially, it's all like analysis. How do you analyze this poem? How, you know, what is the writer trying to blah, blah, blah? And I didn't like that. I don't even like that for fiction sometimes. I think it can be an interesting conversation. But end of the day, like, we don't know what the writer intended. We don't know what their feelings started with. And that's okay. I think it's more important what the audience takes away from a poem or a story. But that's a separate discussion. So I would just say... you know, again, if you just, like, get your feelings on paper, it might not even – poetry doesn't always look like what you think poetry should look like. I've written what I call vignettes because I didn't know what else to call them. And these were sometimes little short visual, you know, written illustrations that had dialogue, and they were very, very short. And I think – I mean, we put them in the poetry book. They're poetry. just because it doesn't look like what you think poetry should look like, and or just because it doesn't sound complicated or deep, so to speak, you never know. People might actually relate to it more. I've had a handful of people who tell me they like my poetry, and I think they like it because you know, there's always underlying themes and emotions, but I don't feel like I try to hide what the message is because I'm just writing from my heart. You know, it just, my heart goes on paper. And apparently it's a little transparent. People get it. And that's okay.
Well, but I think what you're talking about is that the poetry can be accessible. It doesn't have to be flowery language and, you know, like you mentioned, iambic pentameter. Doesn't have to be like the romance poets, Shelley and those guys. It can just be your thoughts, your feelings, in your words, in a variety of formats.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, even if we think about some of, like, Rupi Kaur, unfortunately, I don't know how to pronounce your name right now. Sorry. But she wrote Milk and Honey, which is a New York Times bestseller. And a lot of her poems are short and they're straightforward and they're quite impactful. And they're
okay.
Not in iambic pentameter. You know, and this is a New York Times bestseller. So this is what people are reading and enjoying right now. So don't feel like you have to be Shakespeare to write a poem.
Very cool. Note to self, no need to be Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any other words, poetry that you'd like to share with us, a short story or anything you'd like to share a piece of with us?
Yeah, I think I have one more that I think would be nice to end on. And this kind of goes to what Beverly was saying, that I'm a big believer in being your own number one fan. And when you fall down, you got to be able to pick yourself up. And it's great if you have the support of family, of friends, of significant others. But I think it's important to push yourself to be able to be that person for yourself, too, just in case, you know, one day you might need to be that one person for yourself. So I wrote this poem, and I'd written a 6-part healing series, and this one is entitled Sparkle. And, well, I'll just read it. I think you'll get it. I love the way my hair bounces when I jump and dance, and how my eyes are like magnets that attract so easily, and how my fingernails grow quickly even when I bite them, and how I'm quick with my words, have a razor-sharp tongue. I love my ambition and my heart. I love how I am not evil, but sometimes pretend. I love how when I swing at a park, I'm 6 years old and 6 feet tall, and when I close my eyes, my feet almost touch a cloud. I love how it feels when I turn golden and shimmery in the sunlight, and sometimes in the moonlight, too. I love that I have people who never stop loving and supporting me. I love how I steal covers while I sleep, and how I can devour 4 books in a day. I love how I take on a new city. I love how I love cheese. Mostly, I love how I sparkle.
Very nice. Very nice. And it sounds like there's so much to love, so much awesome stuff to love about you. So I would love to hear what made you write that particular poem. What was stirring up inside of you that made you put that down on paper?
So I was doing this research. I told you a lot of my writing was inspired by a recent breakup, and I'm very scientific in my approach. If I can get past some emotions that I'm feeling, I'm about it. I'm like, how do I get to the next stage of things? So I started doing some research on how do I go from the state of numbness that I'd created through, you know, sadness and drinking and kind of a cycle of, you know, breakup stuff, to healing, actually healing, so that I can move on and become the person that I need to be to, you know, love again and, you know, love someone else, love myself, pursue my passions, etc. So I found some sources. kind of a 5-step process to go from numb to healing. And the process was: step 1, tell the truth. Step 2, feel the feelings. Step 3, self-love. Step 4, gratitude. Or step 4, forgiveness. And then step 5, gratitude. So this was step 3, self-love. So I just started loving myself real hard as I was writing this. And this poem was inspired by 2 really great friends that I have who, their quote, they said, "Nina, you sparkle. You need someone who sparkles." And that's what inspired this.
Well, that is wonderful, friends, to remind you that you sparkle. So everybody listening, I'm going to give you homework now. Whether you've been through a bad breakup or not, you don't need to wait for that to write yourself a love poem, right? Write yourself a love poem tonight. Do it right away and pull it out whenever you're feeling bad. I highly encourage that because that is just beautiful, what you wrote. And that's wonderful that you have friends who reminded you of just how special you are. That is one of the things that I think is really easy to get lost, particularly when we're going through a breakup. But even just in the day-to-day life, there's, you know, like Beverly said, life will beat up on you if you're not careful. You know, there are plenty of people outside willing to beat up on you. You got to give yourself some love, and that's a beautiful way to do it. So what other advice would you give to writers? We're going to be wrapping up in just a little bit, but in these last few minutes, what other information would you want to share with other people who want to write?
I think just know that there's a community of writers out there who are just like you who are trying to write and who might be trying to make it a profession. So, you know, I've had the fortune of connecting through Instagram with other bloggers and writers. For example, I've worked with Noelle Clark, who had me write a poem that she featured on her blog, and we connected through Instagram, and that was amazing to see that you could build a community and have people who continuously support you. She constantly likes my writing, shares my work, and I do the same for her because we're both trying to build each other up as writers and as people. So I think, you know, never feel like you're alone. There are people out there trying to do what you're doing and who want to support you. So don't forget that. Find them. They're out there. Use hashtags.
Yeah, so one of the hashtags on Instagram is, what, Writers of Instagram? Hashtag writer or Instagram writers. What do you remember what that is off the top of your head?
Yeah, there are a couple good ones. I'll give you some of my favorites. Writers of Instagram is a good one. Poetry community, if you're into poetry specifically. If you just like reading writing, there's Readers of Instagram.
Okay.
Instagram, if you like looking at pretty pictures of books or reading reviews. There's tons of communities, tons. And this is just Instagram. This isn't even other social media.
That's awesome. So Writers of Instagram, guys, Poets of Instagram, all those others that you mentioned, and you can probably just go in and start typing in hashtag and start with a search term, and you probably see them start coming up. So make sure that you're reaching out to at least look around in the community, even if you're not, you know, trying to share your work just yet. Just see what's out there. Start connecting with people, because it's always good to start building up a network of people that you can work with or that you follow and that you can learn from, too, because we learn from reading other people's work as well, right? So what are you reading right now, Nina?
What am I reading right now? I'm actually reading this book called A Darker Shade of Magic, and it's by V.E. Schwab, and it's about – it's kind of a magical classic – classic Nina. It takes place in like these magical different London dimensions that exist. And there's red London and a gray London and a black London and a white London. And only, you know, one of the Londons has magic and one of them doesn't. And there's this guy who has these powers. He can move between the worlds. And I'm still sort of at the beginning. So, you know, I assume he's going to have to save one or all of them. That's usually how these things go. But so far, it's
very
crazy.
Cool.
I like it.
Okay, also, so A Darker Shade of Magic. Okay. What else do you have going on?
Well, I was going to say, if you don't mind, I was going to shamelessly plug my Instagram for a second because I also post what I'm reading on my
Instagram.
That's
perfect. Well, that's perfect because I was just about to ask you, what do you have going on that you want our listeners to know about and how can they follow you? So you're right on time.
Perfect. We're in sync. My Instagram handle is at Nina Brav. That's NINABRAV. And it's actually where I do most of my communicating. I share some of my writing, I share what I'm reading, I share just like some funky pictures that I take throughout the day, and just things that inspire me. And you can also, if you wanted to reach out to me about working with you, if you wanted to ever send me your writing and get my opinion, I would be happy, happy to give you feedback anytime. I have an email address. My email address is nina@aninaproduction.com. And you can also find my website, which is aninaproduction.com. So
very cool.
I would love it.
And that's where they can also buy your poem and your poems, your books. They can also buy the Poetica line, right?
Yes, you can buy my Poetica Post line, which I've collaborated with three visual artists who are incredibly, incredibly talented. Four, actually. New one recently. And you can also buy Love and Other Monsters, which is, so far, I'm hearing it's a great book. I liked writing it. People like reading it.
Well, and the poem I asked you to share is from that book, Love and Other Monsters. That's the one that inspired my client to try writing poetry. He started cranking out poetry like crazy, just so you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
Awesome. Well, we are coming to the top of the hour, and I want to thank you so much for joining me here on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. Guys, that's our show for this week. You can reach out to me online at urbanbookeditor.com or on Facebook and Instagram at Urban Book Editor. And you can send me a note. I'd love to hear from you. And you can feel free to send me some topics, things you'd like us to cover on the show. I want to give a big shout out to Beverly Black, again, Tribe Family Channel, and all the members of the Tribe Family Channel. It is a pleasure and an honor to be a part of it. You guys be good, stay mindful, remain prayerful, and I will see you guys again on Friday. Oh, let's see. That's going to be October 13th, I think, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific. Nina Bruff, thank you so much for being on the show. And peace and blessings, y'all. Have a great night.